Good morning, girls and boys. We're turning to Jude, and we're looking at the verses 8, 9, and 10. We started to look at these verses last week, but I didn't quite get finished the study of them, so we're going to go back and finish it today. Let's read then, verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers. And if I might remind you that that little word likewise is to be considered, what Jude is saying is that what they were encountering in their day was just like what God's people had centuries before and down through the centuries encountered. There was only one Judas, only one Pilate, only one Balaam, men who are famous for their opposition to God. But the like of them, those who were like them, are forever popping up in the history of the church. So here is Jude, having just mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah and the wickedness that was found in those cities. He says, the like of them, they're still abroad, they're still about, and they've come to us. So he says, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring, or does not bring, or did not bring against him, the devil, a reeling accusation, an abusive accusation. But he spoke solemnly and correctly. But said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't go against the devil, even though he was Michael the archangel, mighty in power. But he didn't go against the devil in his own power, in his own name, but he employed the power, the authority of the Lord. But these, again, pointing out the likeness, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. I didn't quite get finished the study last week. We concentrated more or less on verses 8 and 9. So we're going to come now to verses 9 and 10. And we're going to be just reminding you of what it was we said about the angels. The angels carry out a wonderful duty, you know, guarding the people of God. I said that last week, though we had to be very brief in our comments. It's hard for us to understand this, since we can't see angels, they're spirits, thus invisible, yet they play a very important role in God's care and protection of his people in this world. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1, the verse 14, you older ones can look it up. I always like you to make sure that what I'm saying is in keeping with the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse 14, Paul, who is the writer, says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, the heirs of salvation are the people of God. And even as Paul puts this, there's something to be noted. They are sent forth to minister for them who shall be. So I think that we can learn from that the angels look after those who are Christians and who will one day inherit the marvelous salvation in its fullness that God has for them. But when you think of the phrase, to minister for them who shall be, there is an indication that the angels know who the elect are, who it is God has selected to be saved, and they guard them also, even though they haven't yet come to faith, even though they have not yet come to a knowledge of the Lord, and are saved, are believing, nevertheless the angels are watching over them. I think that can be said from these words. But in our text, we read in verse 9 of the archangel Michael contending or battling, fighting with the devil about the body of Moses. And we learn that such is the hatred of the devil for the people of God that even after they're dead, he would do what he can to mutilate, destroy, harm the mortal remains. Moses, his spirit, his soul, was in heaven, but his body was buried there on the borders of Israel, buried by the Lord. He was the only one who was ever buried by the Lord. And it would appear the devil launched an attack upon the mortal remains of Moses. And it was then that the archangel Michael intervened and hindered him, stopped him, by the power and by the authority of the Lord. Now that shows the bitter hatred of the devil. But that has been seen amongst men on many, many occasions. And I think particularly of an incident back in the days of the early Reformation. There was a great man of God, John Wycliffe, to whom you, each one of you, and me, owes so much. The Bible that is before you is very much the work of John Wycliffe, very much. Well, John was hated, opposed, chased, hunted by the enemies of Christ, and when he died, the Pope ordered 44 years after he died that his bones be dug up and burned, and the ashes then be taken to a nearby river near to where he had been buried in Lutterworth in England. The very ashes of his bones were taken and thrown into the River Swift, so were washed away. But as one commentator said, just as the ashes of his bones were washed down the river and into the sea and then spread out across the sea and the oceans, so God made the work and witness of this wonderful man Wycliffe to spread across the world through the Bible, particularly the New Testament, that he had translated. But that shows the bitterness of those who are in league with the devil, who are the servants of the devil, that they would actually dig up the man's bones. They couldn't get at him, but they got at his bones, his corpse, and they burned his corpse in this fashion. Just like the devil was attempting to do, or something similar to what the devil was apparently attempting to do with the body of Moses. But Michael the archangel intervened, and God has appointed angels to watch over his people. That's something neither you nor I can fully understand, but nevertheless we can rejoice in. We can rejoice in the care that God takes of his people. Now, we come to the final portion of our text, that is the verse 10. There it says, but these men who have crept in unawares, he's going to give us a further description of them. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. I want to emphasize to you the fact that these enemies of God, who try to corrupt the gospel and harm the people of God, are by their behavior like brute beasts. They have sunk down in their attitudes, in their thinking, in their actions, to the level of the beast. That's to be noted. And if you do notice, I can tell you, it will be very helpful to you as you attempt to understand what's going on in the world today. I'm sure you have maybe been out for a walk and you've looked across the hedge and you have observed animals. And sometimes it seems that their actions are foolish. I remember one time driving home, and I was near Finton at the time, and as I was coming down the road, I noticed a bull coming up to a barbed wire fence. The field was just a little higher on the road, so I had a good view of this boy coming up to the barbed wire, and for some reason or other, the bull said to himself, I want to get out of here. I don't know why. But he just walked up to the barbed wire, and though it would have been sticking into him, he just pushed on and took barbed wire and posts and everything else and ploughed on out onto the road. Now, I had just passed him by this time, but I watched, and he trampled out over the wire, and there he was, loose. And even though he had been cut and made to bleed by the barbed wire, he didn't seem to mind. Well, he was a brute beast. He didn't think about those things the way you ought to think about it. You would look, barbed wire looks very sharp, and I know rightly if I go up against it and push it, it's going to stick into me and hurt me. But the brute beast doesn't think like that. And We are to take note then when Jude says these men who attack the gospel, who are trying to corrupt the church, they're only like brute beasts. That's the level of their thinking. And boys and girls, that's the level men sink down to when they reject the Bible. Wherever you get a rejecting of the Bible, you get a level of thinking amongst men that is in step with the dumb animals in the field and in the forest of the world. Let me start off in our brief study this morning of these words by saying that that's sinful man's natural estate. That's what sinful man is by nature. Until God comes to a sinner and saves him, he will think as a brute beast. Now, he might be influenced by parents and friends, but behind that, there is the thinking of the brute beast. If you're not saved this morning, you're not thinking as a wise person. You've rejected God's mercy, God's love, God's grace, God's salvation, and rejected the offer of heaven for all eternity. You've rejected that to go down the path of sin, rebellion against God, with the same dumbness as that bull ploughed against the barbed wire, never giving any thought to the injuries that it was suffering. Just moved with whatever notion it had to get out of the field and go where it wanted. And if you're not saved, that's your thinking. You defy God. You're going to go your way. And it doesn't matter what injuries will come to you as a result of that. You're going to go on thinking like a brute beast. That's how man is by nature. And it's from that thinking that the gospel of Jesus Christ delivers us. Paul said to Timothy that the knowledge of the Bible that he had made him wise unto salvation. Are you saved today? Well, what made you think wisely about your soul and about eternity was the gospel and the grace of God that opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel. So, Jude is saying what we're facing by this attack by these ungodly men who have crept in is the thinking of a brute beast intent on doing harm, not realizing what it is they're doing. Now, this simple truth, boys and girls, that man is by nature a sinner, having lost the knowledge of God and is blind to wisdom and truth, that explains the state of many, indeed all, Christ-rejecting nations. There are many nations in the world today are in downright poverty. They live the most primitive lives. They didn't get out of a nice, warm, cozy bed like that which you climbed out of. They didn't walk over and switch on a light. They didn't go to a nice bathroom and turn on a tap and out came nice, warm water. No, they had none of these wonderful facilities. Instead, probably just an open fire and a woman with a pot trying to make some food. And the food they eat, very limited. No variety. Eating today what they had eaten yesterday and the day before and the day before. No variety. A very low level of existence. Now, we enjoy, well, you don't think about it, but please do. Look at the lights we have, the heat we have, the seats we have, the comfort we have, the clothes we wear, the means we use to get to school. Driven here in a wonderful vehicle. And in many nations of the world, that's totally, absolutely unknown. Now, is it because we're smarter than them? Is it because in our country there are much more natural riches than in their country? No, it's not. In many instances, in order for our country to possess gold, we have to go to those nations that live in poverty and buy it there. And diamonds, and other precious stone, and oil, and all these natural riches. Very often, these primitive nations have them in abundance. So, it's not that we're smarter, or that our country has more natural resources. You know what it comes down to? That which has made the difference between the lifestyle we enjoy and what it is many nations have to endure? The Bible. That's what made the difference. And I'm sure in history you have been taught of the benefits godly Christian men and women have brought to the nation. Oh, the list of people who benefited the country generally, not just themselves, but all their neighbours and further afield by their wisdom and action, is very great indeed. And they all had one thing in common. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian men and Christian women have produced that by their thinking and by their wisdom and expertise. They have produced that which has contributed to the nation's comfort. Every comfort you enjoy today, the chances are you can trace it back to a Christian. We go to hospital. That's a great benefit to have a hospital. But we wouldn't have a hospital if it hadn't been for women like Florence Nightingale, who loved the Lord and put into practice simple ways and measures that made the treatment of wounded soldiers in the Crimean War more effective. Up until that time, if you were wounded on the battlefield and taken to the hospital, you were going to die in the hospital. You'd escape death on the battlefield, but you were going to die in the hospital because of the way that the wounds were treated. No knowledge of germs and infections and all that sort of stuff, and men with dirty hands and dirty garments would treat soldiers and bring about their death. But Florence Nightingale revolutionized that, and that has been the basis of the modern medical treatment that is available. Though I might tell you that today there is not the same wisdom amongst many medics as there was in the heart and mind of Florence Nightingale. Consequently, you can read in your newspaper of people going to hospital being misdiagnosed, given a tablet and told to go home. The pain they were suffering was really nothing, only for them to go home, take the tablet and die, because they weren't treated for that which they really had, due to the foolishness of doctors. Isaac Newton, Lord Kelvin, were Christian men whose wisdom has benefited modern society greatly. Much of the enjoyments that we have and the sophisticated lifestyle that we enjoy and the technical knowledge that is there for our comfort stems from men like these who were made wise by their knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So when you look out on the world and you see chaos and confusion and war and brutality and wickedness, that's natural man acting like a brute. And if we enjoy comparative peace, it's because of the influence of the Bible in our nation. The lawlessness of today that is increasing in our nation, a nation blessed with peace and stability in times past, now, almost every day, there's a young person knifed by another young person, stabbed to death for some reason or other. There was a school attacked the other day by a mob of young people, young lads, carrying knives and swords and all sorts of things, and they attacked children and teachers. They were just like that bull, driven by some mad instinct to destroy and break out. That's only one instance. I could stand up here for a week if I had done my research and recited incident in the last weeks that has taken place. A brutish behaviour amongst the people that once enjoyed the blessing of God. Why? Because there's a rejection today of the Bible. That rejection today has been the result of brutish men like those that Jude is battling against here, getting into the churches, into the pulpits, and advising the nation on what they should do and how they should live. So the lawlessness of today is a result of brutish men breaking in. The Bible tells us that this will increase until the Lord comes to sort it out by his return and by his taking of his power unto himself and becoming the king and the lord of this world. You know, the word brute here, and if you read your Bible, you will find many references. I read it today in one of my chapters in Proverbs about man's brutishness. And throughout the Bible, you will find this reference. And in the New Testament, the word brute means empty of all understanding and wit. All understanding and wit. If a sheep breaks out on the road, or a dog, or a cat, They run out in front of a car. Now, I hope you would have enough wit not to do that. You're taught not to do that. But the brute beast doesn't know it. And consequently, if you're driving along, you will find on the side of the road the bodies of animals that were brute beasts and had no understanding of the dangers. And that mind is more and more the mind of the nations. And they defy God. They take no heed to the warnings of the gospel. And they're going to end up everlastingly damned. Getting worse and worse, the Bible tells us, as the end of this age draws near. This brutishness, this beastliness, helps us to understand why, as the final act of many nations in defiance of God, there will arise a man whom God calls the Beast. That's one of the titles of the Antichrist, the Beast. That's not an accident. It is to be noted. Jude says these men who come in to corrupt the gospel, they're like brute beasts. And the man who will be the very fullness of rebellion against God, God calls him the Beast. He's the full measure of this spirit of rebellion and defiance and folly that is evident in every unsaved person. And it says that in the end, men will worship the beast. Revelation chapter 13. Men will worship this man. They will admire his beastliness because it's what's in their mind. Only he's showing it to a greater measure than they were ever capable of. And they're admiring him and they're worshipping him as God. This family likeness is to be seen. The Lord Jesus said to those who were his enemies, "Ye are of your father the devil. And the works of your father you do." Have you ever had a neighbour, a friend, an auntie come to you and say, "Oh, look at you. You're the picture of your mother. Or you're so like your father." Ever had that? I'm sure you have. Maybe you weren't listening when it was said, but I'm sure that has been said. Well, the Lord Jesus looked at these enemies and he said, "You're just like your father, the devil." And the devil's children are scattered throughout the world and they bear likeness to him. And he it is who will raise up the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13 says that the dragon, title of the devil, gives to the Antichrist, the beast, power. And he does what he does with the help of the devil. He becomes what he will become by the help of the devil. And he shows all the marks of being a child of the devil. His father is helping him. And this family likeness can be traced throughout the ages. And that's why, as I say, you will find many references in the Old Testament of men who are brutish. They're showing a likeness to the devil. Boys and girls, if you're a Christian, you will show a likeness to Christ. You can never make or manufacture that likeness any more than you made yourself to look like mum or dad or grand or whatever. You didn't do that. It was ordained of God. Well, likewise, you can't make yourself look like Jesus except God works in you and you're born again and you become partakers of the divine nature. Which spirit is moving you in your life? That of the brute beast? Or is it the spirit of God? Are you saved today? Are you? Are you reacting to what I have just said like a brute beast? Like an animal that doesn't want to do what its owner is trying to make it to do? Is that your reaction? A stubborn refusal? Or do you recognize the truth of God and in your heart you bow before what it is I'm saying and submit to it and agree with it? Oh, know yourself today. May God save you. If you're not saved, let's bow in prayer, boys and girls. Lord, bless your word to every heart. Bless the school today and undertake for it in all matters. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.